Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Wild, Wicked, and Weird.
Woo!
All right. Getting started there already.
That's right.
I'm your host, Will Vojvodik. Joined by me is my co-host,
Brett Hedges.
All right. And we're just two average, burly, unkept, unshaven Canadians. Take a deep dive into something of the wild, wicked, and weird from, you know, close to our hometown and other corners of the world.
Absolutely.
How are you feeling today, buddy?
Feeling pretty good. Feeling a little wicked myself.
Yeah? How's the lockdown blues treating you?
The lockdown blues. Phone.
The lockdown blues.
Oh, the lockdown blues. Oh, it's been pretty horrible, but I guess some other people have been getting pretty rowdy around the region. Not specifically in region in Windsor right now, but...
You might have noticed Brett's face at the forefront of the anti-mask rallies they had the other day. I believe you were at the front holding a huge Donald Trump balloon.
That's exactly me. Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. Yes, I wasn't. No, not at all.
Yeah.
I wish. But I guess some other people in the next city over were getting pretty rowdy last week.
Oh, yeah, in Wallaceburg. In Wallaceburg, they had that rally. Starting arresting people. They're taking names and knocking heads.
That's right. I guess some anti-maskers have been charged now, right?
Yeah, some 32-year-old lady. A 32-year-old Wallaceburg woman was issued a Provincial Offences Act ticket Thursday for failing to comply with the Reopening Ontario Act of Chatham-Kent Police. That kind of sounds like the RICO Act, the REOP.
That's right.
The Reopening Act.
Not quite as serious, but...
Yeah. She's probably out, though, right? Can't imagine they hold her for that long.
No, she probably just got, like, a summons or something. She'll probably have to go see somebody in court in
a few weeks. Wallaceburg. Have you ever been to Wallaceburg?
I used to have to go to Wallaceburg for hockey all the time as a kid, and it was always an interesting trip.
There's, like, a river that divides the town, basically,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The one side is a nice town. It's all right. The other side is an absolute shithole, I swear to God.
it's an interesting bridge, too. You always...
It's like being in Tijuana or Juarez. You got the American side.
It's been a long time since I've been there.
Dust bunny rolling across the road on the other side.
The last time I probably was there was probably like 14 years old for playing hockey against Wallaceburg, playing for Harrow. Okay.
Yeah.
But we used to have to go there all the time, man. Their rink was really bad. It was so horrible. Like, their rink was real bad. So it doesn't surprise me that there are some anti-maskers.
Instead of a Zamboni, do they just have, like, a fucking two horses just pulling some guy with a bucket of water?
It was not a good rink. I can't remember it specifically, but I know it was very cramped and that it's a hotbed. Like, they play a lot of lacrosse there, obviously.
My uncle lived in Wallaceburg.
Yeah.
And he lived, there was an old bank. Obviously shut down. Uh-huh. Not too much money in Wallaceburg anymore, I don't think.
Not too much, no.
He lived on the top floor, like a regular apartment, and downstairs was like this old bank. It had a vault and everything.
Really?
So, yeah. That's where my uncle would hide his
There used to be, my dad told me there used to be a lot of money there because there was a lot of metal shops. Metal shops around that area, and then...
Kind of like a... Tool and Die Old Castle area, really?
Basically, yeah. And there's a lot of little shops there, and they ended up closing. That's what happened to the town there. From what I know, I don't know the specifics of the town, but it's what I know specifically. So
pretty amazing that it was named after Braveheart, William Wallace. Isn't that nuts?
You know what?
No fucking idea.
I know. Right? Yeah, he's thinking for a second. I was like, wait, maybe it is, but I don't know. It's probably
freedom! From the top of the first Wallaceburg bank.
That's right.
Yeah, the golf net. We would shoot golf balls into the vault and, you know, just pretend like I was Robert De Niro in Heat.
Oh, sorry. The bank vault was in his house.
Yes. That's what I was telling you. Sorry, he lived in the bank. Lived upstairs and there was a vault with this huge fucking door.
I thought you meant like the bank was like he lived in the apartment above the bank. I'm sorry.
He did. Was in there. He lived in an apartment above the bank, but downstairs there was like the old tellers and offices, and there was a vault with a big fucking door and it was huge.
It was awesome. Yeah. So that's like when we were going to school at St. Clair downtown, the building across the street on Victoria and University, that was an old TD Bank. And
really?
Like, I remember going when they were first renovating that.
Well, they still have a TD machine there, right? Didn't they?
There was, yeah. And there was a big vault there. I remember going down there, and you can still go.
This used to be a bank. Did you know that?
This house right here used to be a bank. Yeah, that's right.
The First National Bank.
First National Bank of Windsor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But there's some there's obviously been some crazy stuff that's happened in Windsor, and we hope what you we hope you guys like what we did last time that we recorded, and we want to share you some more stories. So whose turn is it going to be this week? Is it going to be your turn or my turn this week to go first?
You, obviously.
Me? You want me to go first?
Okay. You just fucking volunteered, buddy. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So, my story this week is called The Windsor Incident. And it happened back on June 12th, 1972.
Ah, yes.
You remember it well? You were a twinkle of the
twinkle. Tell me your version of the Windsor. I know what it is, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. No, he's got a blank look on his face. So, back in 1972, when's the last time you were on a plane?
A plane?
Yeah.
Going to Florida maybe like 6 years ago.
Okay. So, that's like, so you went from Detroit to Florida.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's like a direct flight. That's a one-stop shop. Bang, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Think about how many times they probably make that flight per day. Probably dozens of times, right?
What do you mean?
Who? Like, how many times, like, an airplane makes that flight per day? Like, probably a couple times a day. It's not going to just do one flight.
Well, it's, and like, 4 hours. So, you get there, like... Well, go, but there and back is, like, 8 hours. So, maybe once.
Yeah. So, like, one leg is a task. But, like, okay. Two legs is a lot. And three legs is another thing, right? So,
like, imagine, three trips?
Three separate legs in one day. That's a long time.
Brett's actually rubbing his leg furiously right
now. I'm
like
just excited to tell you this story. All right. So, I'm going to tell you about
Tourette's motherfucker.
Like, I'm going to tell you about these McDonnell Douglas DC-10s. Because on June 12th, 1972, a McDonnell Douglas DC-10...
What's that, like a passenger plane?
It's a plane. It was a brand new kind of plane.
Is it a jet?
It's like a passenger jet.
Okay.
It's a passenger jet. So it's...
Oh, that McDonnell jet. Oh, so, like, of course. Yeah,
exactly. So that's a picture of that kind of plane there.
Wow.
So it's a nice kind of plane. So back in 1978, these are basically modern Boeings are now today.
Gotcha.
And these were involved.
Did you see those at the Harrow airstrip ever?
Yes, absolutely. Right outside the.
Is there actually an airport in Harrow?
I have no idea.
Airstrip.
There's out definitely there. Airstrips because there's farm territory in Harrow, but that's beside the point.
Okay.
All right. So
For another time,
we'll talk about Harrow a lot another time. But so. These McDonnell Douglas DC-10s were a brand new kind of plane that were brand new in the 70s, right? So in 1972, these DC-10s had only been flying for about a year.
Okay.
And on June 12, 1972, a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 was involved in the Windsor incident.
Okay.
Let's say, okay, like, who was involved in the Windsor incident? Okay.
Well, just... First of all, like, that time, it was crazy, because you had, was that during, like, the Iranian, there was a lot of bomb scares and terrorist scares.
1972 and, was, like,
people
the
forget,
end of...
There was a lot of hijackings back in the 60s and 70s, yeah. And just because back then, they would use it just to go somewhere, or to, you know, steal the plane for other reasons. Like, no one had crashed a plane into somewhere like 9/11. We hadn't seen that yet.
No,
so it
that's
wasn't,
very rare.
But so, it happened a lot.
Oh, there's a lot there's more a plane crashes than
especially
you would
have. The 70s.
Yeah, there's a lot more plane crashes than you would like to think about.
Like the Midnight Express, remember that?
I've never actually seen that movie.
You've never seen that?
No.
The kid gets caught with all the hash bricks. But the reason, they thought he had a bomb. Mm-hmm. And this kid, he had like 20 pounds of hash on him, and the guards are seeing him. And when they see it when it's hash, they're like, oh, thank God, he's just an international drug smuggler. Don't worry, boys. Because they were catching people with bombs like every day. Because it was in Turkey. Yes. Yeah, but
there's a lot of
if you haven't seen Midnight Express, fucking watch. I think it's on Netflix.
I've heard many things about it. I've just never watched it. Okay. So these McDonnell Douglas DC-10s are involved in the Windsor incident. So who's involved in the Windsor incident? So there are...
You know it's bad when they say incident.
There's an incident, exactly. So there's...
That could be anything from like a terrorist attack to... You know, like your fucking kid pissed his pants at Bible camp.
That's,
and you got a call in the
that's
morning.
That's very true.
Mr. Brett, there's been an incident.
There has been an incident. how many times did your parents have to get called? Because, I'm sorry, there's been an incident for Willie there. There's been an incident. I think you need to come down
Sounds
to the
like
school and talk to him.
Insidious. Incident. It's just very defeating. I'll shut up now.
It's okay. So this flight, so this airline, American Airlines Flight 96. So this flight started in the morning of June 12th in L.A.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So feel like I'm there. Okay. All right.
So we're in L.A. in the morning, and they're driving. They're flying.
Was this? December? November?
June 12th, 1972. So it's the middle of the summer. They're in L.A., and their goal is to get to LaGuardia Airport in New York. But they got to stop in Detroit, and they got to stop in Buffalo.
And Buffalo?
Yeah, so they're doing three separate legs of this trip. One, two, three. So I don't know. I guess they knew that these planes were built to do faster trips across the country to do these kinds of things. So that you could go 4,000 kilometers at a time. Stop, refuel after an hour or so.
Do you think
get it back up in the air and get up and go?
They probably didn't need to go to Detroit to refuel, though. They probably just went there.
They went to drop off and pass off. Yeah. So this flight started in L.A. They left L.A. late, and they're flying into Detroit.
Fucking traffic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We have never been to L.A.
No, people. L.A. traffic is horrible.
Just to remind you,
L.A. traffic is horrible. But so they go from L.A. to Detroit. And they're going to Buffalo. So the captain of this flight is Captain Bryce McCormick. Okay,
they were naming guys Bryce back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s, yeah. So he was 52 back in the 70s. Okay. So he was already he was born in the 20s. So
Bryce. His co-pilot Tanner.
Yeah, is actually his first officer. His name was Peter.
Okay.
But his nickname was Paige, and his name was Whitney.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So his name was Paige Whitney, and that's his first officer. This guy's young, and his name is 34. His name is Paige Whitney.
Oh, okay.
That's the second guy.
But Paige, if it was like Jimmy Paige, you know, sounds kind of
that's
cool.
That's true, yeah.
That was his first name was Paige?
That was his nickname was Paige. So his name
was rough.
So it's Peter Whitney.
Growing up in the 50s.
And the flight engineer is Clayton Burke, right? So McCormick's a good pilot. He's got a lot of air time. He's got 24,000 air flights, flight hours in his career. Whitney and Burke are also seasoned, not as much as him, but so McCormick's the guy.
Okay.
Okay, but these DC-10s, what I'm telling you, these DC-10s are brand new. So altogether, all these guys have 176 hours in these planes.
Oh, in that plane, okay.
In these kinds of planes. So these planes are relatively new, right? So at the time, they left LA late, and then they got to Detroit at 6:36 p.m.
Where their rims got stolen. Off the
almost,
plane.
Yes.
The landing gear.
They would have almost.
Okay, so they stopped to buy weed in Detroit.
And then they're crossing the border, and they're going to go from Detroit to Buffalo. So they drop off some people, and they
pick up... That's not really crossing the border if you're just flying over
Right? Yeah, you're flying over Canadian airspace to get to New York.
Well, they're flying over Lake...
Lake Erie.
You're right, yeah.
And what happens? They fly over Windsor. Mm-hmm. So they drop people off and they pick people up. So and they're getting everybody on the plane. They're ready to go. These planes are pretty big. They can fit about 270 people. This plane's not even close to being full. It's got 55 passengers and 11 crew members on board. And they pack up the cargo. They're ready to go. They're ready to lift off. It's about 7:20 p.m. There's one last thing that's in the cargo space. And that's a deceased woman who unfortunately died out of state who's on this plane. And she's in the cargo lane.
She died before the plane left
She died before the plane ride. Yes. There's a casket of a woman on this plane that's in the cargo area. Okay?
I like where this is going.
So the cargo's closed, they're ready to go, they get up, wheels up, 7:20 p.m., wheels go up. Right?
Without the rims.
Who knows where the rims are at this point? I don't even know if they have wheels at this point, but I know that the wheels are up off the ground, and they're about 6,000 feet off the ground at 7:20 p.m.
Okay.
And then they request clearance to climb to 21,000 feet. So you got to take a humongous climb to go on this jet stream from Detroit to Buffalo. That's the way that I understand it. Right, so he's climbing up all this way. He's climbing up. He's climbing from 6,000 feet. He gets to 7,000 feet at 7:25, and all of a sudden you hear a big thud on the plane.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, so I don't like Bryce doesn't know what's happening. McCormick, we'll call him McCormick for right now.
Old Brycey boy.
Brycey boy is gonna make me laugh too much, so we'll call him McCormick. All of a sudden, The glass in the cockpit shatters.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like the fucking windshield?
The windshield in the cockpit is like shatter glass. It's not completely out.
Okay.
But it's splintered.
So he has splintered. To stick his head out like Ace Ventura.
He can't see very well. He can't see anything. He can barely see. That's what's going on. So McCormick can barely see. And the dirt hits them in the face. And
whoa, what dirt?
So
what dirt are you talking about?
There's dirt 6, from the floor. Feet. There's dirt from the floor that's hit the dirt from the floor that hits them in the face.
Why is their floor so dirty?
Because William,
sorry,
the rear cargo door detached at 7,000 feet, snapped off completely. That thud was the cargo door snapping off at 7,000 feet.
Damn.
Right. So all of a sudden, the pressure in the cab.
Oh my God! I know what's gonna happen.
It causes the floor to collapse because of all the radical decompression, it's called. Mm-hmm. The floor collapses and two people of the flight crew fall and like minorly injure themselves. But like the floor collapses and starts severing cables, right? So it eliminates some of the flight that you can do some at that time.
Final destination shit.
Yeah, dude. So the thud was the cargo door breaking off and it caused decompression in the cab. The floor breaks. Mm-hmm. Two people in the cab, two people in the rear part of the cargo area, like two stewardesses were at the back. They fell because the floor fell. Floor fell. They call...
Floor fell. Flanders. Yeah. Flay.
They call the cockpit and let them know. Because Whitey... I mean, Bryce has no idea. McCormick has no idea what's going on.
Did you just call him Whitey?
Whitney is his first officer.
But Bryce is the fucking whitest name out there.
That's true.
As a pilot.
That's right. Bryce is the captain. And Whitney is his first officer.
Co-pilot. Pardon. Paige.
Sorry, I want to get those right. Yeah, Paige Whitney. And for all it cares, though, his name could be Whitey. I don't care. But so they call the cockpit and they let them know, saying, hey, there's damage in the back.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. You need an emergency call and we need to go, like, that's what's going on.
You think you got it bad back there?
Exactly.
I got fucking floor dirt in my eyes here, Whitey.
Exactly. But they have 56 passengers on board.
From Detroit, right? To LA.
Because they're going from Detroit to Buffalo.
Okay.
And then they're going from Buffalo to New York City or LaGuardia, whatever. And
does this bitch come out of the coffin and go over the Niagara Falls like those people in barrels?
I'll get to it. I'll get to what happened to her. We have a situation on board, though, because...
An incident on board.
Because the flight crew... So, like, the flight crew talks to the cockpit. They coordinate. They make an emergency call. They're turning around to go back to Detroit, okay. Right? So, in the cab, though... The stewardesses or the cabin crew, they go to help all the passengers get these oxygen masks off, but they're not high enough yet in the air, so the masks don't drop.
Oh, the masks don't drop automatically,
Yeah, so there's no oxygen to these people immediately, so people are going nuts.
Wow.
They're panicking, and all of a sudden, one of these cabin crew people, they grab one of these manual oxygen tanks, and that's how they were able to help stabilize these people.
Like pass the bottle.
Yeah, pass the
passing
bottle.
Passing it around.
Essentially to help people like kind of calm them down.
Don't backwash.
Exactly. So they turn around.
Brett is just riveted right now. Where he's rubbing his hands
and he's stuttering out of breath. It's a funny story because they turn around and they go back and they land.
In Detroit?
They're landing. So they're turning around. They're going right back to where they came from. They're going toward it, and they're requesting landing in Detroit.
Oh, so they didn't land yet.
Okay. They're entering airspace.
Yeah.
They're descending, right? Yeah. But his controls are limited. Oh, so they're coming in way too fast, man.
No landing gear?
They have some landing gear, but they're having problems with their leveling.
Wow.
So he's coming in way too fast. So eventually, give this guy credit. What Bryce McCormick does, this guy is incredible.
What did Whitey do?
What Whitney is his first officer. He comes in this in a minute.
So Whitey and Whitney.
Whitney is the first. Whitey and Whitney are the same person.
Yeah, Bryce is Whitey, and then his co-pilot's Whitney.
Oh, okay. Whitey and Whitney are on the way because Bryce is the whitest name going. And Bryce is going all the way down. They're good entering this airspace to enter Detroit Airport, Met Airport. and they're flying in. He's able to level the plane, and he's able to get down onto the airstrip. But as soon as they get on the airstrip, they jerk over to the right, and they go off the airstrip. Okay. They're on the infield. Wow. Right? So what Whitney does, so what Paige does, he jacks the brake on the one side, jacks the brake on the thrust on the one side, and leaves the other side idle, and he ends up
shoot it back?
He basically fishtails it back onto the airstrip, and then they
I did that the other day.
In the Avenger. In the Avenger, right. You whipped it around the corner. But so like, give this guy some credit.
Wow. They pull this crazy. Off.
They get back onto the airstrip, and then they stop about 200 meters from the end of the airstrip. So like
just
in
like
airport.
In the movie when it just comes to the
exactly.
end.
Exactly. Yeah. But
just rightfully, like the script of Speed 7.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is like Speed 6. Oh, yeah. God. This is where they came it from. All 56 people and all 11 crew cabin are fine. Mm-hmm. But the person whose body was in the cargo area fell out of the airplane and it landed outside of Windsor, Ontario. Thus,
oh my god,
it is called the Windsor Incident.
That's crazy. That's a fucking incident.
I don't know. I've been looking into some research about this woman's body. I don't know what specifically happened afterward at this point or where it specifically landed. But I want to know because I want to know where it specifically landed. From what I can tell right now, it landed around County Road 42 area.
Okay.
So like Tecumseh Lake, that's why it's confusing because
close to Windsor Airport.
So they were driving, so they were flying over Windsor. Wow. This happened. Their cargo door snaps off. This woman's body falls off in Windsor. They turn around. They don't know this at first, obviously, and they go back to Windsor. And they probably don't realize this until after they're doing inventory on the plane. Okay, what do we got? What have we got? Oh no, the woman whose body, who unfortunately died out of state, they're bringing her back home.
Where was she from, though?
So I'm assuming that she was from Los Angeles, and they were bringing her back to New York. That's what I'm assuming.
Because but if she's from this flight Los was Angeles, going, this, why would they bring her back
she
to
was
New
out
York?
Of state. She was out, like, she was on vacation, and she got sick or something, and she was sick, and she had to be flown out of state because she died out of state. She was from New York or something.
Oh, she's from New York now.
Yes.
But you said she was from Los Angeles.
She was That's in Los Angeles.
Oh, that
She was
makes
in
sense.
Los Angeles when she died. They're bringing her back home to New York. She gets dropped off in Windsor, unfortunately, unexpectedly.
No.
Because this cargo door snaps.
Imagine, like, at one of those churches out in Tecumseh or around the county.
Yeah, man.
Just
like,
in the middle of Sunday, they're like, in the name of the Mahdi and the Fatih. They're just coming from the roof. Boom! Right in the fucking altar.
Yeah, man. Like, just wild. This body falls out of this plane from 7,000 feet.
But when they see the body, they probably think that she died in the crash. Little did they know that she was already
she was there
dead.
I want to do some more extensive research on this body. But it's because obviously, like, we're not making fun of her, but it's like this is a crazy circumstance. Like, we'll want to make sure we give her some due. But
when
this
I worked for travel insurance, there was like, you know, sometimes people died and they had to bring the body back.
Yes,
and that was an issue. But could you imagine the paperwork for not only did she die to stay and they're bringing her body back, but they fucking lose her body
and
halfway through the trip?
Yeah.
Oh,
talk about
God.
Losing your package. Like, you're mad if your Amazon doesn't come right on time. Yeah. Imagine if your aunt or your cousin doesn't come back at all.
Oh, my God.
So that's the Windsor crazy. Incident. And there is so much more that I could tell you about DC-10s, man. That, like, all the little rabbit holes that I went down.
Do they still fucking fly them?
No, because you know what happened? A lot of people died.
Oh, my God.
Flying in them because they had some safety issues. They had a really sketchy safety record.
Wow.
And so originally they said that they were going to change the design on the rear latch.
Yeah.
But the difference was that the door would close inward or outward instead of inward so that you could put more cargo in.
Oh my God.
That was what was so appealing about these planes. They're cargo planes now. Like, all these planes are decommissioned.
That's crazy, now.
Yeah. They're just freighters. They're all just used by FedEx.
Oh my God.
But there is a lot of deaths that have happened because of this. And
it was a plane crash involving a body dropping from 7,000 feet. I didn't assume that no one died in the story. And no one did.
That's
no
right.
No one was really hurt except for maybe the guys who had the glass and well, dirt.
Everyone was good. Like, everyone's a little shaken up, obviously. There was two cabin crew people that had minor injuries because they fell through the floor. So everyone was good. Like, Bryce McCormick, Brian.
Yeah, Whitey.
Whitey, yeah.
Wait, his name was Brian the whole time?
His name was Brian the whole time. Was I calling him Bryce? No, it says, oh, it's not, it's Bryce, it's two different sources, Bryce and Brian, they got this name wrong.
Oh, really?
So the original one is Bryce.
Who knows?
But they said that I just read it wrong. It's not Bryce at all. It's not Brian at all. It's Bryce.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
So that is the Windsor incident. Everyone was good, but those DC-10s were a mess, and I could have gone on and on and on about that, but that's not what we're here for, so.
Oh my god, that's fucking crazy, man. So, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so that's called the Windsor incident. Landed. And
how many farmers do you think have been telling people, right here in this spot,
right here,
June 12th, 1972.
That's right. Because I didn't know about this until I was at my cottage one time. I want to say it was at least 5 years ago. This
before, really?
It was on a TV show that's about crazy. Like crazy stuff, and they said I was listening to the show.
Yeah.
It wasn't a podcast, it was a TV show, and all of a sudden it just perked up because they said Windsor, Ontario.
Wow.
And I asked my dad if he remembered that, and he was like, yeah, a little bit, like, I remember there's a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And so I dug down a little bit deep and I got down a rabbit hole. Wow. But I wasn't able to find out more about the body. So, but that's the Windsor incident. So yeah. It's called the Windsor incident because it happened in Windsor airspace.
Wow.
So that's crazy. So it started in LA, was supposed to go to New York, but they made a hell of a stop in Windsor.
That's crazy, man.
That's right. They made a cargo drop.
God, I can't wait to go flying now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because your mom has a flight license.
My mom was a pilot. She had a plane with her uncle, and I just, when I was a kid, yeah, we'd go flying with them. I never went flying with her, though. I just went with my uncle.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she was a great pilot, too.
Yeah,
but
you said Bob went flying with her a couple times, right?
Did he? Yeah. Then he said, never again. But I just thought everyone's mommy had a plane.
That's right.
When I was a kid.
That's
yeah.
That's right. So they would... Because they would fly from like
something to do.
Detroit
yeah.
to Florida sometimes, right?
I think they did it once, but then the fuel cost was like way more expensive. You might as well just fly commercial, right?
That's true.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. That's crazy, man.
Thank you. That's crazy. I hope you guys like that
just
one.
Just fucking flying out of it like that.
Yeah. And that's crazy. Yeah, so it's not exactly what happened. It's not exactly in Windsor, but it happened around Windsor and above Windsor too. So.
Wow. Oh,
and they're trying to actually take away our air traffic control tower right now. The federal government wants to try and minimize their budget, I guess, in that area, from what I understand right now.
I don't understand that. Why?
So, Windsor has a very complex airspace, as you can tell, because it's an international border. So I hope they don't. Take down that area.
I don't know.
That air traffic
control. I've learned enough about aerodynamics and aircraft, or aeronautical technology, I should say.
It's true.
Learned enough about the DC-10s. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. I was looking for, I don't know, I didn't, now I feel not as good, now that you pull up a story like that. What the fuck?
That's a thrill, right? That's one that
that's
one that I've had locked away for a little while, and I know you've been intrigued about that one for a while, so.
Yeah.
What do you got for me today, buddy?
I found this pretty funny story. I just thought it was funny. It happened a couple of years ago. We're going to Pickering, a couple hours north.
Okay, Pickering, Hamilton, Ontario.
Toronto area. There was this guy, his name was Stu Adamson. He was like in his 50s, older guy.
Yep.
And Stu, he was a normal guy from like Fielding, someplace in Ontario.
Okay.
And he loved crystal methamphetamine. He was cooked it, smoked it, shared it with his friends.
He's all about it.
The cornerstone in the meth community. He did like 10 years in prison for cocaine charges back in 89.
Okay.
But that's the 80s. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Everyone did that back then. But, you know, I guess he moved on to other stuff.
Even Tim Allen did it. Tim Allen did it.
Yeah, he did. He did a while, too. And he went to prison. Like, he never snitched on anybody.
I think and that's... No. I think...
You have all these... No, like, he went to prison for, like, over a year.
Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I thought that he
We'll do another story next time. But, I mean, you have all these rappers that say they're so hard and so gangster. They snitch in a second.
Yeah.
Motherfucking Tim Allen and Martha Stewart are harder than any of these kids.
That's true. Like, didn't say anything.
Yeah, and he didn't go make a SoundCloud album. No, that's true. Started a fucking sitcom. We started doing stand up and then did the sitcom.
That's true. Can you imagine if Tim Allen did a soundtrack?
Oh my god.
It would just be hey. Oh no, that's Cosby. Never mind. We don't know how to do that.
But okay, so in Pickering in 2006, November 20th, a big fire breaks out at this industrial complex. I can show you pictures of it later.
In Pickering, yeah.
Firefighters, they showed up, and eventually they found out there was like over $5 million worth of meth at this place. And they found, you know, it took 9 days just to clean this up. Mm-hmm. Over $300,000. It destroyed all of the other businesses in there.
Wow.
When they pulled up, they said they saw this guy making several trips back and forth because even though there was this massive explosion, old Stu Boy doesn't want anything to go to waste.
No.
But he was incredibly burned. He was really damaged to the point where they pulled out his body and they firefighters responded and pulled an unconscious Mr. Adamson from the unit just before a series of explosions caused him to retreat. So they rushed him to the hospital with severe burns and smoke inhalation. And then once the flames were extinguished, they said, hey, wait a minute, this isn't a bakery. They realized, you know, the flour was actually cough medicine pills and
yes.
a bunch of batteries with lithium strips.
Oh,
and
my God.
You know how it is, right?
Of course, yeah.
People, you know all the ingredients, right?
Well, yeah, if you... What I've heard is when in Rome,
it was big.
Do as the Romans do.
Yeah. Several kilograms of crystal meth, and it would have been, you know, it was over $5 million in chemicals and meth that they found.
In this huge
and when they pulled up, this guy's making trips back and forth.
He's trying to
pull everything out.
He's like a farmer trying to save his crops.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Can you imagine just a farmer just trying to save his stock, just his barnyard animals? Come on!
He saved a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the police saved it from him.
Exactly. You know? They saved as much as they could of it for evidence.
Oh my god. So they brought him, so they brought him to the hospital. And the police, you know, they have this guy in the hospital, and, you know, when he recovers, and, you know, because he's really fucked up
from this
meth, you know, fire's bad. Meth fire's super bad. Because he's got that meth speed in him. He's just like, he was able to make 20 trips back and forth when a normal human could make only 5.
That's true. Can you imagine just all those chemicals in the air? He must have been riding the
so white So, eventually, after a couple days, you know, when he, when they think he's good enough, the detectables, they go up. To visit him in the hospital, you know, because he was basically in a fucking coma. And Stu's gone.
Oh, no, he's gone. He fucking
booked it.
He go.
Yeah. But a manhunt ensues, and they found him a couple blocks later.
Can you please find the severely burned man?
Actually, just kidding. That was a joke.
No way.
He was fucking gone for multiple years on the lam.
He's gone for real.
He left, yeah. They said they think two accomplices helped him escape. But, you know, like, if someone murders someone or is, like, a mass shooter, they're going to have a couple guards looking at them all the time. Mm-hmm. But this guy couldn't even, you know, stand up. He was in a coma, they said. So they just have the little ditzy, like, handcuff, you know, to the bed.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going anywhere. But, he fucking escaped and... the doctors were, like, blown away that he was able to, like, escape. They're like, he's not going to survive.
No, he should be in shock.
And, like, I couldn't find anything on this guy. Because usually people like that, they surface once in a while for air on the police blotters and stuff like that.
You would think that eventually he would turn up.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't. He was gone for a long time. In December, they eventually they issued a warrant for him. And I found, like, an article in 2008, a couple years later, just, like, you know, it was, like, a Pickering's Most Wanted version. They had his picture saying, keep a lookout for this guy because he escaped, after the fire. And they didn't find him for a long time. They didn't find him until 2010,
He's gone for a long time.
Yeah, and he ended up pleading guilty to all the charges that they had, which is, you know, producing methamphetamine,
yeah,
you know, distributing, and then, you know, evading arrest. And, you know, they talk about how in 2006 they pulled him, you know, an unconscious Mr. Adamson from the fire, and he had all his burns and everything. And but I couldn't find anything after that, after he got sentenced. He has terminal cancer because he was 62 at this time.
Oh, geez.
And
so this is like Pickering's Breaking Bad. He was trying to make some money.
Well, they found him.
Yeah.
At another fucking meth fire. Yeah. That's the only reason they found him. Like, he was, the only reason he keeps getting caught is because of meth explosions.
Not Walter White at all.
No, they didn't. He's no Heisenberg, no. Yeah, but they never said how they, you know, like, we're searching for him and stuff, but they found him with two other people in a town called Jordan, yes. Which was, you know, in that same, roughly the same kind of area, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, he might be dead by now, you know.
I would assume so, yeah. If he had cancer at that point, but.
I just thought it was funny how he was able to escape and stay on the run for that long. Yeah, it was pretty nuts. I'm trying to find the article here when they found him in Jordan, but I don't know. I just thought it was funny, just the shit that criminals do. You know what I mean?
Like, stuff like that. The incredible
resistance. What was he doing all those years? Yeah. You know, he could have been involved in so many other things. He's like Two-Face, basically. Yeah. You know, he comes out from the fire.
He could have honestly been like a really successful guy until maybe like his early 50s.
Yeah.
And then he maybe just like found it one day, and or like, you know, just things happen. Maybe he worked at a construction site or something.
Exactly, yeah.
And he worked and he found some crystal meth, and like 12 years later he's running a big time business or
you
something.
Have, like drug crime
steps to
and
it.
Drug stories.
Yeah.
You know, and they're always the same. They're not very, you know, funny. They're kind of sad and stuff, you know, with all the crime that's involved.
Yes.
But then you have meth, and it's like the Florida man of the drug crimes and trials, because it's just fucking crazy, insane. And the people involved in it is just nuts.
It stands out to me just like the physical feats that these people are able to do just on these crazy drugs. And I get it. It's like I guess like from what I can, I don't know anyone that's done it or anything like that, and I don't know what it's like. But like in the 60s, like speed was super bad.
Well,
this
the same
is like,
thing.
Yeah, speed this is speed times 100 because it's so powerful now, right? So
it's
I can't
not
imagine.
Speed times 100. It's just the same thing. I think. I don't know.
So I can just imagine how crazy and impaired.
I found this other funny
you.
Story in Ooh. Harris County in Texas.
Ooh, a second story.
This guy, he was 24, Ross LeBeau. He didn't make a, you know, he failed to signal, and the cops pull him over, and they find a sock. In his car, and in that sock is a half pound of methamphetamine. Wow. They did two field tests. It becomes, you know, positive.
Yes.
And this kid, you know, he's never been involved in a crime before. He's like, I have no idea what that is. I've never seen it before. It's not meth. I don't know what meth looks like. But they did two field tests on this thing, and it said positive. So they threw him in jail for 3 years.
This kid.
Here's a picture of him. Like,
oh,
looks
man.
Like a fucking Bryce.
He does look like a Bryce, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But then they eventually found out that it was determined the material was not a controlled substance. It was actually cat litter.
Oh my god.
That this guy's dad put in the car to help reduce the fog on his windows. Because I guess it has some, maybe it sucks the moisture out of the air or something.
Yeah.
But
it had enough
just
of that
a,
chemical.
Just
in
a
it.
Good dad, just looking out for his son, just does a thing. Probably told him while he was sleeping and didn't remember.
Yeah,
he's got. And he ends up getting like fired from his job, and I couldn't find any like lawsuits or anything.
Wow.
But
but this kid ended up getting out?
Eventually, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And he wanted an apology, but they never gave him an apology because they said the field test, those little chemicals they used,
yeah,
it tested positive.
Yeah.
But what the fuck are they putting in cat litter?
Yeah, to like, make no, it? No wonder like, cats are all,
how
met,
many
are all hopped
people,
up.
How many Stuart Adamsons in Texas do you think started smoking cat litter after reading that story? But I think he knew it was cat litter because look at That mugshot. Look how smug and fucking happy he is.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, it's cat litter. You can see
the dollar signs in his eyes. Literally.
He's got a nice like shit eating.
But look at this stat. Apparently, they said this type of field test, this drug, this big fucking mistake that they made.
Yeah.
There was out of all of Texas, there was like 68 drugs, what they call renunciations or remunerations, I don't know, something like that. Basically when the cops fuck up.
Yeah.
You know.
Something that you think
of. Cat litter for meth, which anyone could do. You know, I'll give that to them, you know.
You never know.
Yeah. But it was like 68 cases that happened in Texas, and 44 of them happened in Harris County alone. Wow. In this area.
So they're just, so there might be something wrong with this. But
they didn't even apologize.
Yeah, there might be something wrong with this county police department. Maybe their equipment ain't so good in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need some state taxes there.
Oh, dumb shit happens like that all the time. In the 90s, this one junkie got caught that he said he was Scott Weiland from the Stone Temple Pilots because he played guitar and he kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
And the cops, they just fucking took his word for it, and they threw him in prison for 4 weeks. And so they actually announced it to TMZ, and the story, you know, they ran the story, and no one was surprised because Scott Weiland had drug problems.
No
one was surprised except for Scott Weiland himself.
Yeah, he went on Facebook. No, it wasn't me, and man. He's like,
I'm in my bedroom. pretty sure it's not jail. And then TMZ called the cops, and the cops like, no, we're not falling for this shit. He's still here.
Yeah.
But eventually they realized... We're not
falling for that voice box stuff. It wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. But apparently, to the cops' credit, he looked pretty similar to him. But this guy was just a Stone Temple Pilots fan. And he just said he was Scott Weiland.
Did I tell you about the time that our friends did a Stone Temple Pilot tribute?
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that? Do you remember what happened to Paul after? So our good friend Paul dressed up as Scott Weiland. He was the lead singer for this tribute band. Oh, he's
dressed up as Scott.
He drank an entire 40 that night. Oh, I want to say it was about that. And he ended up on the stairs at Rock Bottom in the morning. Someone called the owner of Rock Bottom and said, there's someone on the stoop
of your... Scott Weiland is on the stoop of your...
Yeah. Someone is on...
I remember this.
Because he lived next door to Rock Bottom. He couldn't get into his house that day.
His life was in that two-block radius. Yes. He grocery store, spokes, work. That's right.
And he was in front of Rock Bottom. And they called the owner and says, I think someone's dead in front of your restaurant. Oh, you need to, like, check this out. And no, it was just Paul. Crawled up in the corner of the stoop. Dressed as Scott Weiland. And after having an amazing night. But to their credit, they put on a hell of a show.
Oh, my God.
So that's a great story there, buddy. That's
funny, man. Oh, I found another quick little one here. There was a guy in Staten Island, George Pringle. He went and got himself a nice little fade, the local barbershop.
Of course,
caught up on some gossip, you know.
George.
You know, had some mixtapes handed out to him on the corner.
George, what do you know about cocaine?
Yeah, and the NYPD stopped him, you know. And they accused him of selling loose cigarettes. I don't know, maybe they would just go to a black man smoking a cigarette on the street, I guess. Wow. I don't know. So they searched him. They found no evidence of that. But they found some crack in his pocket.
Of course.
So he stuck there. Yeah. It was crazy, though, because it was very clever. The crack was actually disguised to look just like a mint, like one of those mints that you get from a restaurant.
Okay, yeah, like those...
down to the cellophane and the minty scent. It even had the swirls in it.
Yeah, the mint swirls.
This criminal crack-dealing loser, this scum of society, he, of course, tried to lie his way out of it.
Of course.
Told them it was a mint he got from a restaurant. He actually offered the cop to taste it. But the cop was smart. He wasn't going to be poisoned by this man because the cop said that's what he was trying to do. He even offered to, this guy, George, even offered to eat the mint himself to prove that it's not crack. But the cops knew this was a clever ploy to escape justice through suicide. So he was charged with possession, hauled to the precinct. He spent 27 hours in jail before they eventually dropped the charges.
Yes.
Maybe one of the cops ate some garlicky shawarma and needed something minty. And
you never know, some crazy stuff in evidence. Maybe they tried to smoke
it and realized it was just a mint. And guess what? This guy, George Pringle, he was actually a drug and addiction counselor. That was his job.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah, he ended up getting $42,000 for that when they settled.
Do as I say and not as I do.
Isn't that like the Dave Chappelle skit, though, when he's like, oh my God, apparently this man broke in and hung up pictures of his family all over the place. That's like, right. That's a Dave Chappelle skit. He's holding the mint saying, it ain't crack. Here,
it's not him.
Here, you lick it. I'll lick it. He's like, what? And get poisoned?
Yeah, get out of here. Sprinkle
get
some
crack. Get in the car. Put this malarkey. Nah. So yeah. Sprinkle some restaurant mints all over him.
Let's get out of here. Let's wrap it up.
Oh wow. My God.
That's a good one, man.
I don't know.
Those are some crazy... I like those your are, incident story, those are, yeah, like, those are some dumb criminals. And, like, the meth...
The list goes on and on.
The meth explosions was very shocking to me that he survived two explosions.
Yeah. He's basically like...
Superman.
Yeah, meth Superman. Meth Two-Face.
Meth on two... Yeah, Two-Face on meth.
Instead of a silver dollar, it's just a nickel, though. Very meth-headish.
You can't get no pennies no more, so it's a nickel every time.
I need 20 cents to make a call. I just have this nickel.
I just need to make a call.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty fun. I think that's pretty good right there.
That's good, yeah.
I hope you guys really enjoy that.
Can't wait till we get this mic next time.
Yeah, we have a microphone on the way. We ordered it today.
We're be able to hear me breathing like Tony Soprano.
That's hopefully. Right. Yeah. And hopefully you guys like to keep it wild, wicked, and weird, and we'll see you next time. Until next time, I am your host. That is Will, and we'll see you next time. That's right. That's why I pointed at you and I said, that's Will.
Happy American Thanksgiving.
Take care, guys. Be safe.